The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I've said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. What does the world give? And what does God in Jesus Christ give? That's the question from our text in John that I'd like to focus on today. In thinking about it, I think the difference is the difference between you're not and you are. Jesus points out that the world and what it gives is hearts that are troubled or afraid. The word for troubled is terazo in Greek. You've heard me talk about this before. It means to set in motion that which should be still. A useless back and forth motion that always reminds me of what squirrels do right in front of your car when you're driving down the road at them, right? A useless back and forth motion. It doesn't get them out of danger. You're like, just choose one way or the other. That's what I think of when I hear terazo. It also means to stir up. The world sets us into useless motion. It makes us cowardly and afraid. It goes so fast sometimes that it pulls us apart by centripetal force, if not by malice. But I don't have to tell you about that, do I? Especially those of you who are graduating, and your parents. You all know about deadlines for papers and applications, the push to be more productive, to do more, normally with less. You know about the race to go from class to practice to performance to gain, sometimes literally pulling families apart more than it brings them together. I still remember the number of parents who, in the early days of the pandemic, when everything had shut down, talked about how nice it was to have the whole family together, just under the same roof, not even necessarily doing the same thing, but just together, to not be pulled apart in that way, to not be moving all the time, set into motion endlessly. The way of being that the world gives is filled with your nots. You're not good enough for this scholarship. You're not good enough to make this team. You're not working hard enough. You're not driving the best car you can. You're not saving enough. It pushes social media images, TikTok, Snapchat, and many others, that gives us more things that we're not: beautiful, ripped, funny, artistic. That always holds out the possibility of something better. Creates a fear of missing out that pulls us apart even when we're trying to find something fun to do. Oh, we could do that. Or what about that? Oh, if I do this, I can't do that. How many of you can imagine right now in your own head your own you're not moments? What the world gives is driven by a system that is designed around the accumulation of power, of money, of influence, and that is garnered easiest through division, fear, stirring into useless motion. And it's a world that we have created on our own. Thank you ever so much, Adam and Eve. Jesus says, I will give you something different. Peace. Peace. The word in Greek is a translation of the Hebrew shalom. Shalom, peace, means something more than the absence of conflict. It means wholeness. When all of the essential elements are together, it is a profound sense of well-being that permeates all of who you are. It's the peace of the still waters that the shepherd leads us beside in Psalm 23. It is the result of the command, the invitation of God in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Shalom. And know that I am God. The very first thing that Jesus says to the disciples when he appears to them in the locked upper room after his resurrection is, peace be with you. Shalom be with you. It's meant to banish the fear, the cowardice, the timidity that the world had placed in the hearts of those disciples. They had been hiding behind locked doors because of it. It is accompanied by the warm breath of the Holy Spirit that calms them. Peace, wholeness, unity be with you. The voice of Jesus says, you are. You are enough. Just as you are. Even without all the extracurricular, spectacular grades, the perfect resume, you are enough. The voice of Jesus says, you are loved. With no conditions or reservations, you are loved with wild abandon just because you are God's good creation. The voice of Jesus says, you are skilled, gifted, talented in ways that are unique to you. You are loved, you are skilled, you are talented, you have worth. What Jesus gives is a peace that grounds us, slows us down, so that we will no longer be stirred up by the foolishness that the world thinks is wise. The peace that Jesus gives is that regardless of what you think you see in the mirror, God sees the truth. A beautiful child of God whom God loves and takes infinite pride in. Jesus, you are, brings peace by silencing all the you're nots. It brings shalom, wholeness, by seeing and accepting and loving who you are right now. By stilling your heart and saying, you are enough for me. Which reign would you prefer to live under? One that always says you're not. One that spins you up into sound and fury that ultimately signifies nothing. That pulls us apart as individuals, but also as a society that divides us into us and them, all for the sake of garnering power, adulation, money, or a reign that says, you are loved, you are enough, that calls us into relationship with each other, moves us to curiosity to discover the uniqueness of that person over there, wondering what their gifts are, what their story might be, that celebrates the diversity that God has created into this world on purpose. A reign that acknowledges imperfections, but also that God's love and forgiveness covers over all of that imperfection, and that has an endless fountain of grace so that we can start over again with no embarrassment or self-consciousness, because we all, each and every one of us, need that grace, don't we? None of us is perfect. That's why we are gathered in this place, because we recognize that. We recognize our need for that grace. We need to be reminded not only of that grace and our need for it, but that it is ours, freely given. And so I pray that we choose peace, wholeness, stillness, to recognize with Jesus Christ, to join with Jesus Christ and reject the ways of this world and live under his reign, to sit at his feet and learn how to deepen the pools of our souls such that nothing can stir them up into useless motion. For the ways of the world is ultimately death, death of our souls, death of our self-esteem, sometimes literal death. What Jesus gives is life. Life fuller and more abundant, real life. It's not virtual, it's not staged, washed, touched up. Life with all of its warts and bumps, and there are warts and bumps and hurts and imperfections galore, but it's real. It's deep. It's whole. With relationships that sustain us, that love us with the same wild abandon that God does, that leaves us still, calm, at peace. Shalom. May that peace that only Christ can give be yours today and always. Thanks be to God. I invite us to stand as we sing our hymn of the day.